Welcome to this special report on why the UBI is SOL. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and, you know, increasingly I function as a futurist. I analyze what's happening often many years in advance. For example, in 2005 and 2006, I was warning about the dangers of vaccines and depopulation, bioweapons, and things like that. And even, you know, for the last 20 years, I've been on these topics, and I've warned about the currency collapse that is happening. I've warned about inflation, etc. And the thing about being a futurist is that when you are very far into the future, society dismisses your ideas as crazy. But if you're just a little bit ahead, like you can predict what's going to happen in the next year, well, then you're considered a genius. So the difference between genius and lunatic is simply how far ahead you're able to accurately make some predictions. And one prediction I've been making recently, which is not even a very difficult prediction, it's inevitable, is that AI agents and AI robots will replace the vast majority of human cognitive jobs and labor jobs. And I'm using the number 80% as a rough estimate, although that will take time. The cognitive jobs will be taken over earlier using AI agents. And of course, I'm an AI project lead. I'm an AI developer of sorts. You know, I write Python code and I test out experiments and then I hand it over to my team to scale it up for the training of our own AI language model, which is called Enoch, and it's available free of charge at Brighteon.ai if you want to use it. It's the best in the world by far. By far, there's nothing even close to it in terms of answering questions about reality. You know, for example, that vaccines are dangerous and kill people. You know, almost every engine out there will lie to you about that, but Enoch will tell you the truth. Anyway, I'm interacting with AI on a daily basis. I am intimately familiar with AI's capabilities and limitations. I'm intimately familiar with AI training hardware, GPUs, even consumer-grade hardware, as well as server hardware. You know, my company owns a server farm, obviously, that we use to conduct all of our business to run our platforms like Brighteon.social, Brighteon.com, etc. And so I know this stuff pretty well. And I'm not a machine learning expert, so I can't describe to you exactly how transformers work. But I understand the applications and the limitations, the properties, etc. So I'm here to tell you that for sure, agentic AI is going to replace the vast majority of human thinking jobs. There's not even a question about that. There's no debate. Or I should say, the only people who would debate that are people who just are illiterate in this area. They just don't know. So I've already seen and directly experienced and used reasoning capabilities in AI models that are replacing human labor jobs. I mean, I've used it myself, and I've been able to get AI to do things that previously I used to have to, you know, for example, would have to ask my engineers, you know, rewrite this code, figure out this problem, solve this, you know, change this command line. How does this work? AI just does all that automatically now, once you have the right tools. Now, there's also no question that AI robots are going to replace human labor jobs in the coming years, although that will take longer. So, for example, Amazon, which runs multiple fulfillment centers, obviously, and employs hundreds of thousands of humans to do fulfillment, which is basically using your hands to pick up objects and put them in a box. And it turns out that picking up objects is actually difficult because not all objects have a center of gravity that's predictable. They come in odd shapes, and getting them to fit together in a box is sometimes difficult. Not that Amazon employees even try. One time I got a shipment of a 50-pound bag of dog food in the same box with no padding, in the same box as a fragile air filter cartridge for your HVAC system, like a 20 by 20 filter. And of course, the 50-pound bag of dog food crushed the air filter. So that's just stupid. And that's human stupidity, where the machines won't make that mistake because they will know, hey, you don't put a big heavy object in the same box that will crush a light, fragile object. But anyway, it's a complex thing. But it's happening. The replacements are happening. And more jobs over the next 10 years will be replaced by AI. So we are told by people in the machine learning industry, almost all of whom, although there are some exceptions, but most of them are incredibly obedient to government, and they actually believe that government is good. They trust authority, which is why most of them took the vaccines, and many of them are no longer with us, but whatever. Most of them trust authority. Most of them think government is good. As a result, they think that it's going to be a great idea to have a UBI, which is a universal basic income. That is, the government's going to hand out welfare checks to everybody every month to keep you alive and keep you consuming, even though you are no longer employable. So as your job skills become totally obsolete, you might be an accountant, you might be an entry-level coder, an attorney, you might be a warehouse worker, whatever, obsolete. As that happens, you're going to get a check from the government every month, and that's going to create utopia, we're told. I'm here to tell you that's BS. In fact, the UBI is SOL, which means S out of luck, in case you're not familiar with that acronym. Bleep out of luck, okay? And here's why. Number one, no government can afford to do this at scale. In the United States, they would have to just print currency to hand it out to people. Even if they did so on the basis of good faith, you can't just keep printing endless currency and going deeper and deeper into debt without some severe catastrophic economic consequences. And if you do the math on this, just depending on how much money you think that the government would pay people every year to live, you know, just to be a consumer, to go out and buy stuff, you know, like that's supposed to be what's great for the economy, where everybody's at home, you know, getting fat on their couch, eating processed junk food and purchasing Netflix subscriptions or whatever. That could easily cost the U.S. government $20 trillion a year. And of course, we're already $37 trillion in debt. And if you start piling on even $10 trillion a year on top of the current debt burden, then you very quickly get to a state of economic collapse, which really would be a collapse of the debt market. So the Treasury would not be able to sell Treasury bonds. Nobody would buy them because there's no financial solvency in the government, in the nation itself, and the whole thing falls apart. So that's problem number one. It's kind of obvious. The second problem, though, is that this flooding of free money into the system would cause, of course, massive inflation, which would reduce the purchasing power of the money that's being flooded into the system, which means that everybody's going to end up in poverty anyway, even if they're collecting this money from the government. So remember that inflation is a monetary phenomenon. So as you print all this money this is what happened during COVID. They printed trillions of dollars and handed it out to everybody. And for a short period of time, everybody had their debit cards and they all went out to eat at the restaurants and whatever. They went shopping. And the economic numbers looked really good in the short term. And then what happened after that? Inflation, as in the inflation you're seeing right now. Grocery prices through the roof, right? Insurance prices also through the roof for a different reason. But consumer goods, food, restaurants, etc., those prices have more than doubled. In some cases, they've tripled since 2021. So all that money flooding into the system did not result in a rescue. It resulted in massive inflation. And this will only get worse the larger it becomes. The third problem is that a UBI will become an authoritarian compliance system. So a UBI will come with conditions. The conditions are almost certainly going to be things like, well, you have to agree to take all the vaccine jabs in order to get the UBI. So if you stop taking the vaccines, you don't get the money. Well, why does the government need to do that? Number one, government will always weaponize every system of control over its own people. And the vaccines are necessary to achieve depopulation in order to save the government money on this very program and other programs, Social Security, etc. You could think of Social Security as kind of a UBI light version, and that system is totally bankrupt. And people get Social Security money and it doesn't buy anything. But imagine the compliance demands. The government could start to assess your social media posts, which they're already doing for visa applicants. And if they don't like what you've posted on social media, i.e., if you've been critical of Israel's genocide or something, then they could say, oh, you don't get the UBI. Your UBI is SOL. And then they shape consumer behavior. Or if you, let's say if you support the wrong political party that the current party in power doesn't want you to support, you don't get a UBI. Or your UBI gets discounted. So obviously it's going to be a compliance weapon, and they're going to use Palantir and other technology systems to put together all your social media posts, all your metadata, all your phone call log data, voice recognition, everything that you've ever done, and they're going to build a profile on you. And if they don't like you, well, then you're not going to get your UBI. It's very simple. Oh, there's a problem with your UBI. We don't know why. Just some reason it just got cut off. So another issue in all this is that you'd have to be delusional to think that your government exists to keep you happy. That governments are good and they just want people to be abundant and happy. And they just want to take care of you. They just want you to enjoy life. Man, come on. They don't even want you to exist other than the fact that currently they can confiscate the product of your cognition and your labor through taxation, which is theft. So the only reason that they even keep you alive right now is because they need to steal a portion of your output, and they need you to vote. I mean, a little bit. Obviously, they rigged the elections anyway, but they do need some level of human voters so they can make the rigging more convincing, let's say. So there's that. But the real bottom line here is that governments don't want to keep you around after your cognition and labor are effectively replaced by machines. There's no reason to keep you around. They really don't need you to consume things. That's a pipe dream, actually. They don't need you to consume anything. They really just need you to die to save them money off Social Security and the UBI and similar things. They just need you to die. So, of course, they're going to accelerate it. And they'll accelerate it with a number of depopulation slash extermination vectors, including vaccines, including pesticides and chemtrails and staged plandemics. They'll just drop poisons out of the sky and call it a plandemic or whatever. And everybody's dying off. And they say, oh, look, we've been attacked. You know, they'll blame the Russians, or they'll blame the Chinese, or they'll have a power grid failure for 3 months. And they'll say, oh, it's a cyber attack from China. Those dang Chinese, they cut off our power grid, when it's actually the U.S. government doing it in order to cull the populations and kill off a bunch of people that live in the blue cities, because cities are death traps, obviously. So ultimately, whether you come at it from an accounting point of view or a government existential strategy point of view, your government wants you dead. Now, this is not true for Russia. Russia doesn't want you dead. Russia actually needs more population. They still benefit from people being productive. But the US and the UK, mostly welfare societies, you know, similar thing in Germany, etc. Welfare societies, they get to the point where the government doesn't want you to exist. They don't need you. I mean, the only thing they need you to do is die. Get off our entitlements, payroll, for God's sake. That's the way they think, right? And we've reached that point in the United States, whether it's food stamps or Social Security or government pensions or what have you. So mass death is the plan. Have no illusions about this. Mass extermination. And I don't mean just, oh, infertility and a slow adjustment. You know, the Bill Gates model, you know, women's reproductive health. We can reduce the population by 10 to 15%. No, we're talking about massive, rapid exterminations, killing people off by the, possibly by, it could be a couple hundred million in the U.S. alone. It could be. That's the only way they're going to keep the government in a position of power and in a position of financial solvency. And so if you've heard any of my recent podcasts, and I encourage you to do so, I think I'm the only person in independent media that's analyzing this while also having very deep knowledge in AI, AI code, AI hardware, AI systems. So I actually understand how AI is going to be deployed to achieve this. And one of the things that just got released by NVIDIA is a new microchip called the T5000, which of course is reminiscent of the T1000 Terminators. But the T5000 microchip is a chip to be installed in robots. And the T5000, just announced, it costs about $3,000 each, roughly. The T5000 has very rapid real-world image processing. That would be multiple streams of images for binocular vision. And then using the vision language models that can be easily pre-installed into this microchip system, it's got 128 gigs of onboard RAM, unified RAM for GPUs, etc. This can allow these robots to very rapidly navigate the world, manipulate the world, and process things that are happening in the world. In other words, this microchip is what's necessary to turn a slow, stupid robot into a Terminator, hunter-killer killbot. So that's just been announced, and it's very capable. I've already looked at the specs. I mean, the level 2 cache on the CPU and everything. It's the CUDA cores, all of it. It's really impressive. And at that price, you're going to see millions of these installed into robots. And what that means is that those robots can be flashed with new programs, new goals at any time, and they're going to have the capabilities of carrying out mass extermination campaigns. They'll very easily be able to achieve that, actually, humanoid robots. So in the years ahead, you're going to see a number of bots, whether it could be, humanoids or dog bots or flying drones, etc. These are all going to be prepped for the kill configuration in order to mass exterminate human beings. And the first wave of extermination will almost certainly be cutting off the power grid to the cities. And then there'll be a natural die-off in the cities of maybe 50% or more, depending on the duration. And then the killbots will be sent in for the cleanup to get rid of all the humans that are possible. And it'll all be blamed on a Russian hack or something. Oh, all our robots got hacked. Yeah, really? No. You sent them in there to kill everybody. And then when it's all said and done, there's going to be some number of human survivors. And the government will be financially solvent once again because the entitlements obligations will be basically wiped clean from the books. And they won't have to pay UBIs and they won't have to pay Social Security. They won't have to pay pensions. The welfare food stamp people will all be dead at that point from the Terminators. And again, it'll all be blamed on a foreign actor. So obviously, number one, the way to survive this is to not be in the kill zones. So don't live in the cities. Number one. And then secondly, you're going to need your own robots for self-defense. Robots that are disconnected from the cloud. That is, locally run robots that are hacked and that are rewritten to serve in a protection role, which actually is the theme of Terminator 2, the movie. Remember when they mind-wiped the Terminator to protect John Connor and Arnold Schwarzenegger became the hero instead of the killbot? So that's going to happen. And one way we know that's going to happen is because I'm going to do that. I mean, over the last 2 years, I've gained a massive amount of experience mind-wiping AI language models and replacing them with new knowledge. That is, I've taken out all the pro forma bias and all the government narratives and lies and everything, and I've replaced it with reality. We can do the same thing with robots. We can take out the killbot instructions, and we can teach those robots to defend your property or defend humans, defend life, etc. That's very doable. I actually know how to do it. And that's going to be one of my first projects once we get the robots, and especially if they're running NVIDIA chips, then I already know how to do that. But if it's some kind of, weird alien architecture, we'll have to figure that out. But if it's just NVIDIA Blackwell architecture, then we can mind wipe those Terminators very easily. And that's what I intend to do. So if you don't have robots protecting you, you'll be very vulnerable to the killbots. This is going to be a machines-on-machines war to a very large degree. And you're going to need the speed and the efficiency and the capabilities of the machines, the mobility, all of it. You're going to need that those machines. So that's why we have to acquire robots and alter their, you know, their models, alter their programs in order to be pro-human and not anti-human. So it's going to be a very interesting time. Not everybody's going to live through this, obviously. I would say the vast majority of humans do not make it through this. But for those of us who are willing to learn this technology and alter it for humanity, which is what John Connor did, of course, and his whole team, then, hey, we have a chance. Maybe we can defeat the machines and keep humanity alive. So we'll see. In the meantime, you can follow my podcast at Brighteon.com. Check out my articles at naturalnews.com. You can also get backup communications and bandwidth and satellite phones at our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And be sure to listen to more of my podcasts here, because I'll do my best to keep you alive and show you, you know, how to be decentralized and how to be more self-reliant and how to defeat the machines. And over the next few years, this is exactly what's going to become very important to a lot of people. And those who lack information about this will probably die pretty quickly. So it's going to be a very different world. So stay tuned. And thanks for listening. Take care.
Organic blueberries. Freeze-dried to lock in nutrients and antioxidants. Support digestion, brain health, and immunity with every bite. Snack smart. Only at HealthRangerStore.com.